Given the somber "let's pull together to fix it" tone of his inaugural address, it is clear that Barack Obama has been talking to real Americans in real distress, such as many older Americans for whom the golden years are not turning out that way. And why is that? We are here to tell you it is not just the deep recession to blame. Senior correspondent Maria Hinojosa and producer Faye Moore have been investigating the causes and effects of older America's crisis over credit.
Ow. It does hurt.
Meet Janine Cook and Mary E. Bosch, two sisters living in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They came here from Ohio to enjoy their golden years. Little did they know, they would enter their retirement in the midst of a terrible recession.
We've got money. I mean, we're not poverty stricken, but that's all we have for the rest of our life. That's it. There isn't putting more money in to watch it grow, because right now we're afraid to put it anywhere because of the loss.
In the past 6 months, Janine has seen her retirement fund sliced in half.
I mean, I've got some good coupons in here. What we have lost in the stock market is devastating to us, because that's our retirement. That's our money. You know, you put it away for the rainy day. It's pouring out.
Today, the sisters are enjoying a much-needed distraction, a weekly painting group at the Grand Strand Senior Center.
This is Fiona Faye Frog. She's footloose and fancy-free, loves the man.
But there's not a lot to be cheerful about. Not only have their finances been devastated, their kids have been hit hard, too. One of Mary's sons is afraid of losing his job. Another already has.
He's got two little children. Scary.
You're crying about your kids. And they're supposed to be your future.
Very bleak.
It's very sad. It's horribly sad.
I mean, things are even bleaker for Janine. She's unable to sell her house back in Ohio because her kids are just scraping by and had to move back into her home.
I'm afraid my children will never see owning their own home. They live in our home in Ohio. Do we want to sell our home? We can't sell our home. I have my daughter and son living there. I have a granddaughter there. There's no way.
Because the Cooks can't sell their house, Mary and Janine have moved in together. Now the sisters, along with their husbands, are living as roommates. What's going on with these sisters is being echoed across the country. There are almost 40 million seniors in the United States, and many of them are in trouble.
Our challenges may be new.
And at his inauguration this week, President Barack Obama acknowledged the problems faced by the baby boomer generation as it heads into retirement.
The question we ask today is not whether our government is too big or too small, but whether it works, whether it helps families find jobs at a decent wage, care they can afford, a retirement that is dignified.
While the economic bad news has been terrible for seniors, perhaps the bigger story lies in the predatory practices, both legal and illegal, that are sending seniors even deeper into debt. Now travel to South Carolina, a retirement hotspot, to see for ourselves.
We've had 25 listening sessions throughout South Carolina to hear the concerns of the seniors.
Republican Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer runs South Carolina's Office on Aging.
When you look at the big picture, how do you think these retirees, these elderly folks living in your state, are going to be impacted by this financial downturn?
Well, I don't think it matters whether they're wealthy or poor. They're all affected by it. More and more of them are concerned about the rising cost of health care coverage, the rising cost of drugs, prescription drugs, and the fact that the cost of living in general continues to go up. And they're concerned how they're going to make the numbers work.
Making the numbers work is even harder, says the lieutenant governor, when seniors become victims of fraud.
Fraud is growing rapidly. They're targeting what I like to call the greatest generation and the Andy Griffith generation, folks that were more trusting, were more genteel, weren't as quick to shut that door, hang that phone up, and would listen to somebody's sales pitch.
To combat crimes against the elderly, Bauer has established a senior fraud task force.
Here in South Carolina, the Lieutenant Governor's Office on Aging believes in protecting our senior citizens. What does that fraud look like for seniors in South Carolina? What's a typical scheme?
The latest scheme is they call and they say they're a jury duty coordinator, and they say, I'm with the local office and you didn't show up for jury duty. And the person immediately is concerned and they say, really? They say, yes, and there's been a warrant served for your arrest. And so this person is distraught. They don't know what to do. Well, immediately the person on the other line acts like they're going to become their friend. They say, well, let me get your full name. And what's your address? What did you tell me your Social Security was? Their identity has just been stolen.
Advocates for the elderly say this kind of scam is appalling, but rare compared to a far bigger problem. Certain kinds of loans that are perfectly legal.
Clearly, you don't want to see people subject to fraud. But a lot of the loans that were made are not fraudulent. They followed the laws.
Sue Berkowitz is a lawyer with the Appleseed Justice Center, a nonprofit organization that helps low-income people. Some of the hardest hit are seniors, many of whom are on a fixed income.
Gas prices are up. Utility costs are up. Food is out the roof. And that small pension, that small Social Security check, that retirement doesn't go as far as it used to go. And people are using extraordinary means to try to make ends meet.
The average Social Security payout around the nation is only $14,000 per year. Things are so bad here, now some seniors are taking out high-rate, short-term loans with their checks. They're called payday loans.
There's Check World over there. There's two or three over there. And
here then, in Columbia, South Carolina, they're everywhere.
Here, you can see there's Title Max and Check Max and Check Express Check Advance there.
Anyone who draws a regular check can take out a two-week payday loan of up to $300 for a $45 fee. Loans are pitched for emergency use only, but there's a good chance that those who don't have the money today won't have it when the loan needs to be paid back. So, a cycle of debt begins.
I'll open the door for you so you come to this side.
That's what happened to Emma Boaknight. She was using her entire monthly $600 Social Security income to pay off six payday lenders. This went on for 2 years before her daughter Clementine discovered what was going on and called Sue Berkowitz.
When she began to talk about things like, I hate when the first of the month come, I said, well, Mama, why are you saying it? You get your check the first of the month. And she said, because I hate giving my money, all my money to these people.
Mrs. Boaknight had originally taken out a payday loan to pay off an urgent bill. When the due date came, she was still short of cash.
And every month for 2 years, they took another $45, each one of these six. That was a lot of money they took out of your pocketbook. And I know you couldn't afford it.
Payday lenders advertise aggressively and set up shop close together. When Mrs. Boaknight needed another loan, she could just walk right next door.
If I'm not able to pay my $345 loan back to you, I'm going to borrow another $300 from another payday lender. So you know what they're going to ask? Do you need money? Well, what am I going to say? Sure, I need money. So I'm going to borrow another $345. You had to take one out and then borrow.
Mrs. Boaknight kept paying because she was afraid she could go to jail.
If you close your checking account, then they can't.
Berkowitz took action. She convinced her to close her bank account and confronted the lenders, who eventually backed down.
We do have a law that says no lender should make a loan to anyone in South Carolina without looking at their income and debt ratio, their ability to repay.
The practice is so controversial, 15 states don't even allow payday lending. But the business is thriving in South Carolina. In fact, the country's largest payday lender, Advance America, is based here. Lindsay Metzger is a spokeswoman for the Community Financial Services Association, the lobbying arm for the payday lending industry.
For someone who takes out an emergency loan with you know, a high fee, and they're living off of a small fixed income, how is it possible that they're ever going to be able to catch up? If they're on this fixed income, they're desperate for money, they go take out this loan.
Well, I think you have to look at what the other options are to this person. If they really need to pay a bill today, or you know their electric bill is on the verge of getting shut off, what is available to them? And if it's not paying the bill and it's the middle of winter and that means your bill is going to get shut off, then it makes sense for them to take out a payday loan.
But remember, most of these loans aren't used for one-time emergencies. Consumer advocates say 90% of payday loan customers are repeat borrowers.
Do you worry that particularly with seniors, this is something that they could get in the habit of using that could be problematic?
I think seniors, I mean, like with anything, I mean, any product could be problematic. I think with the case of payday lending, people need to understand exactly what the product is and use it for that.
According to the Center for Responsible Lending, payday lenders nationwide made close to $28 billion in revenues last year. In South Carolina, advocates have sought help from the state legislature to end this practice. Last year, one bill limiting the rates on payday loans got 84 supporters, both Republican and Democrat. But it never made it to a vote in the House. This year, several more bills are seeking to ban the practice outright. But the state's governor and lieutenant governor say payday loans are not a problem the state should be focusing on.
When we spoke to aging activists, they told us that the payday lending was one of the biggest issues.
We just hadn't seen it. I mean, I'd love to, you know, our phones ring every day, and if the folks watching this show have been put in a situation they think that they've been taken advantage of, we want to hear about it.
In recent years, the lieutenant governor has received nearly $30,000 in contributions from payday and title loan companies.
So when your critics say the reason why you as a lieutenant governor haven't taken on the payday loans is because you yourself have taken contributions from payday institutions?
Oh, when you're in politics for 12 years, you get critics every day. It doesn't matter if I wore a blue tie, they'd say I needed to wear a red tie.
But you did take $3,500 from ACOX, who runs a payday title loan company. So you took another $2,500 from Title Max. So you have a list of contributions from payday loans.
When you look
through
those contributions, I don't believe in government solving everything. So it's not about who gave me money, because a couple thousand dollars would not affect me. If it were talking about saving seniors' lives, I can tell you a couple thousand bucks wouldn't do it. But part of being a government leader is sniffing out if there's really a problem and sniffing out a dividing line between free market and actually unscrupulous tactics.
As we looked into what's going on in South Carolina, we discovered payday loans were only a part of the problem. Throughout the state, seniors are trapped in the same kinds of debt we've been seeing across the nation. According to a study by a public policy research organization, the past 20 years have seen a 200% increase in credit card debt alone for older Americans nationwide.
You retire on a fixed income from the government. The government gives you about a 2% raise a year. When food costs goes up 6.5% or 7% a year, there's no way that you can exist like that unless you've got credit cards or something.
The single largest expense for most seniors is health care. For Joyce and Donald Dunlap, that's exactly where their problems, lots of problems, began. First, Joyce left her job to take care of her sick mother.
And then she died in July, and I got breast cancer in November. So, and then it was after I had chemo in the same year that he had to go have brain surgery. This one.
Recently, they were dealt another blow. Under their Medicare Part D policy, the cost of prescriptions is going up. With Donald on 12 medications for various illnesses, they'll pay almost $3,000 this year.
He has high blood pressure, he has high cholesterol, he has diabetes, and he just...
I'm a living time bomb.
Both unable to work, the Dunlaps turned to credit cards to make ends meet. Then, to pay off credit cards, they decided to refinance their mortgage with AmeriQuest. They took advantage of a low interest rate offer, only to see their payments go up. What started out as a mortgage of $650 a month is now costing them double.
We thought we were buying something we could pay for, but having to quit my job, and we just can't dig our way out. And looking at these interest rates, we never will.
Meanwhile, their credit card bills keep creeping up.
Yeah, then you get late fees of $39, or upwards of 18, and then you're off the scale.
In the past year, Joyce noticed that due dates and credit limits were suddenly changing.
I think it's complicated, and I think that's the way they want it. They want it complicated so you can't pay your bills on time. That's the reason they changed the dates. That's the reason they put them on weekends. And a lot of times I think that they think that people our age just aren't or do not have the mental capacity to try to keep up with it. And some of them my age don't.
Now at the ages of 74 and 70, the Dunlaps have gone back to work. Donald and Joyce work at the shipyards. She does days, he does nights. The Dunlaps are doing everything they can to avoid becoming part of an alarming statistic. People 50 and older hold fully one quarter of delinquent mortgages in the country. And among older Black Americans, the situation is even worse.
We've seen that for African Americans, they are disproportionately represented by those who have delinquent mortgages or in foreclosure, probably more than double the rate of others.
Teresa Arnold works for the South Carolina chapter of the AARP. She says that many Black seniors in the state have been put into subprime loans.
We were listening to African Americans talking about being steered into subprime loans when they should have qualified for a prime rate.
This may have been exactly what happened to LaVonya Atkinson, who's 83. She lives with her ailing daughter, Rosalyn, in Columbia, South Carolina. She spent her career teaching school and coaching basketball. LaVonya and her husband made careful plans for retirement when they bought their house 26 years ago for $78,000.
And my husband was able to get it remodeled and fixed up. And it was reduced at price, and that's why we got it.
Over the years, LaVonya saw the value quadruple.
But it was valued at $350
when it was first remodeled. It was valued at $350.
When the housing boom was at its peak, LaVonya and Rosalyn decided to refinance their home to pay for other expenses. But they say a mortgage broker put them on a path to financial ruin when he sold them an interest-only mortgage. The broker was happy to make that loan to Rosalyn, even though she only had a part-time job and a debilitating illness, multiple sclerosis.
And I have a hard time keeping a job, especially a full-time job working outside home.
Rosalyn says the value of the house has gone down and the payments have gone up.
It was $1,900. So, but now it's $2,300. It went up.
And now they're overwhelmed.
We just lived and paid debt, and we never got behind. We kept up with everything, and now everything is all out of whack.
Rosalyn and her mother are threatened with foreclosure, but they told us that the mortgage company isn't willing to negotiate.
All they want is the payment, and when they, if you get even a month behind, they're talking about
foreclosure.
And this first minute, I'm trying to get out from under them if I can. Trying real hard.
There was a time when if you were going to go get a loan, it was your local banker and you trusted them. They were going to do what was in your best interest.
Sue Berkowitz is angry that government deregulation and the highly sophisticated predatory lending that followed has left so many seniors blaming themselves for their problems.
You know, what's interesting to me is so many times the first thing, especially with older people, what they'll say to me is, I'm really sorry. I never thought I'd be in this position. It never dawned on me this would happen, and apologizing to me that they got ripped off.
When people say, look, there is a certain level of personal responsibility, what's your response to that when people say, look, you know, you made this decision?
What about the responsibility of government, and what about the responsibility of lenders to determine whether that person had the ability to pay that loan back? You know, we're seeing ourselves in a huge financial crisis right now with mortgage loans because we let a whole industry make loans to people who didn't have the ability to pay it back. Some sophisticated, but many unsophisticated borrowers. Why is it okay for them to act irresponsibly as lenders?
I think it is going to take federal intervention. You know, as you get older, you just don't have a whole lot of options. And I think that our country will be a lot worse off if we don't try and stabilize seniors.
For many seniors, the only wealth they had left was in the value of their homes. Now, many of them have no option but filing for bankruptcy.
One in four bankruptcies are held by a person who's 55 and older. Back in 1991, that number was one in 12.
One of the problems is the bankruptcy laws don't allow people to restructure debt on their home.
And in fact, AARP has written a letter to Congress saying, when you provide this bailout package, you need to consider our members, people 50 and older, who need to be able to restructure their mortgages, who need help during the bankruptcy process. You can restructure debt on your yacht, but not on your home.
When he was on the campaign trail, President Obama promised to help seniors hold on to their homes.
If we're serious about protecting retirement security, we need to protect the homes that are the cornerstone of a secure retirement.
Now Obama has made his plans clear. He wants to reverse decades of deregulation in the banking industry and push through laws that will allow judges to order loan remodifications. There are other ways out of the red, too. The AARP recommends that seniors see government-approved credit counselors to help manage their debts. Additionally, Teresa Arnold hopes that more adult children will have an honest talk with their parents about what's happening with their finances.
You know, the seniors that you're looking at, the older folks, they really are from the silent generation. They sucked it up. So even though they're being hurt by their silence, they're not necessarily going to speak out about it either. They're going to figure out how to survive.
For some, surviving means giving up their dreams in order to pay off their debts.
It would be so nice to be retired and be able to do the things that we want to do now and travel. And
we have talked about it, just letting this house go, forget it, and just get us a trailer and move on. Go out on the road.
But the work ethic that we were raised with, there's no way we can just walk out. We just have to keep trying.
This is such a bad time, and we can't cave. You know, we have to go forth and put our earrings on and do what we have to do to get through it.